Hello, folks. Welcome to a special edition of LRIS's podcast series. Today, we're very pleased to have Steve Reed as our interview guest. Steve's going to talk to us about the upcoming revisions in the Consumer Price Index. This is a very important topic for a lot of you who are listening to this podcast because you may have collective bargaining agreements or a memoranda of understanding that are tied one way or the other to the CPI. And even if you don't, it may well be that the budgets of local governmental agencies or states are in some fashion dependent upon the CPI, either because they use the CPI for forecasting purposes or perhaps they even have CPI-driven budget categories. Steve's background is that he works for the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That's a part of the Department of Labor. And BLS, as we'll refer to it, no doubt, publishes the CPI. Steve's an economist with the Consumer Price Index Program at BLS. He graduated with his bachelor's degree in economics from the College of William and Mary, which is located in the beautiful town, no doubt this time of year, of Williamsburg in Virginia. And he received his master's in economics from the University of Maryland. With that, Steve, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Pleasure to get to talk to you.
And Steve, let's start off with just a couple of the basics. Will you describe sort of the broad geographical cuts that the Bureau of Labor Statistics does when it publishes the CPI?
Sure. Well, of course, we publish the nationwide CPI, what we call the U.S. city average, and that tends to get sort of the most attention from the news media. But we also publish CPI for four major regions, as defined by the Census Bureau, and for quite a few, currently it's 27, it's going to be reduced to 23, individual large metropolitan areas. So these are very large cities. We do not publish CPIs for every county or for every zip code, as I occasionally have people requesting. So when you're looking at the CPI, you're either looking at something that's nationwide, regional, or for a specific metro area.
You and I have not previously discussed my next question, so pardon me for surprising you a little bit. But from time to time, I get questions about whether you can use the Los Angeles CPI and compare it to the New York CPI and get a relative measure of the current differences in the cost of living in those two cities. I always say, no, 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 you can't do that. That's not what the CPI is all about. Am I right?
You left out a no. It should be four no's instead of three no's. Absolutely not. The CPI is a measure of the change in the cost of living. It's not a measure of the level of the cost of living. So, for instance, you might look at two index numbers, and I don't have them in front of me, but suppose New York is 250 and Los Angeles is 230. That doesn't tell you anything about how much more expensive it might be to live in New York than Los Angeles. What it tells you is that prices have increased a little bit more in New York than they have in Los Angeles since the base period of that index, which would typically be in the early 80s. So the CPI, unfortunately, can't be used to compare the level of cost of living from place to place. There are a few sources for that. There's not sort of one ideal source. It's not the easiest thing to get great data about. And if you think about it, it's difficult. You know, you have to collect a huge amount of data to be able to sort of comprehensively compare the cost of living in every place in the country. But no, the CPI measures the change in the cost of living. So you can maybe use the CPI to figure out, you know, how much of a raise you need to give somebody to keep their cost of living constant. You could not use the CPI to figure out how much of a raise you need to give them if you're moving them from Denver to Los Angeles or something like that.
Understood. I am relieved to hear that I'm right on that thing, at least.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is a common misunderstanding.
Now, Steve, there are two broad CPI indices. There's the CPI-U and the CPI-W. What are the differences, or what are the differences between those two?
Well, they use the same prices. The prices are just weighted a little bit differently. The categories of goods and services are weighted a little bit differently. The CPIU, the U stands for all urban consumers. The weights of the different categories, and by categories I mean bananas and gasoline and rent and things like that, are based on the spending patterns of, well, almost everybody except very rural consumers. In the W, in the CPIW, the W stands for all urban wage earners and clerical workers, the weights are based on the spending patterns of what you might roughly call sort of blue-collar workers, people who earn a wage rather than a salary. So the weights can be different. Like, for one important example is that gasoline has a higher weight than the CPIW. And so when gas prices are shooting way up, the CPIW will tend to run a little bit higher. When they're falling, the CPIU will tend to run a little bit higher. Historically, they're fairly similar, and there's no particular reason that one should sort of systematically be any higher than the other. So it typically doesn't make a huge difference in terms of, you know, the quantitative measure, which one is used. The U is broader, and, you know, in the BLS, we tend to push people towards broader indexes. I would sort of advise people to use the U unless you have a reason to use the W, unless you're sort of specifically dealing with that group of consumers, you know, wage earners.
Oh, I want to follow up on something you said about weights. And my question deals with whether or not the local indices are weighted in different fashions. Mm-hmm. And I think of that question as when we would compare, for example, the Anchorage to the Miami local indices, we wouldn't find the same weights given to air conditioners and snowblowers, would we?
No, you would not. No, the weights are different for what we call the PSUs or population sampling units. It would obviously be a less accurate index if we had to have the same weights in every geographic area. And so, no, the weights are different from place to place.
Now, the Bureau of Labor Statistics revises the CPI from time to time. Not talking about the upcoming revision, but what are some of the major revisions we've seen from BLS in the past?
Well, just to clarify, when we're talking about revises here, we're talking about sort of changes in the methodology or the sample of the index. We're not actually talking about going back and changing the data. We don't go back and revise the data. But the CPI has been around since the World War I era, and obviously it wouldn't work too well to do things now exactly the way we did them then. So historically, we have occasionally, and by occasionally I mean roughly every decade, done major revisions of the CPI in which we replaced the geographic sample and/or we replaced the item sample when we reevaluated the methodology. So historically, those revisions took place roughly every decade. We've gotten away from a little bit from those sort of major periodic revisions. Now we update, for instance, the market basket every 2 years, and we also make methodological changes sort of as we see fit. Like, for example, in 1999, there was an important methodological change where we changed the formula we used. And 1983, there was an important change where we changed the way we measured housing costs. But the basic idea is that, you know, we want to keep the CPI as accurate as we can, and the economy changes and we can find better ways to do things. And so we adopt new methodologies, we update the geographic sample, we update the weights.
So let's talk about the revision that's coming up. What's the purpose of the January 2018 revision?
Well, this is our geographic revision, which we've historically typically done every 10 years. This one is the first one in 20 years. We essentially skipped one because of source issues. In terms of why we're doing it, I guess I would say imagine that we never did it. Imagine that we used the same geography now that we did when the CPI started in the World War I era. It wouldn't be appropriate. What we're trying to do is to create an accurate cost of living measure for the nation. And we can't take prices everywhere. We don't have the resources to do that. So we need to choose a set of areas where we're collecting prices. And it makes sense to occasionally revise that as population patterns change and, you know, people move to the Sun Belt and so forth. This is the first one in 20 years, but historically it has been roughly done every decade.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes four what I would think of as broad regional indices, the West, mm-hmm. the Southwest, Northeast, and Midwest. What, if any, changes will be made to those?
Well, we're still going to publish those four, but we're also going to publish an additional breakdown into what are called census divisions. So there's nine census divisions, two within each region, except the South has three, and we're going to start publishing CPIs for those. So, you know, those provide sort of a, you know, sort of a bridge between using a CPI for a specific metro area and then using a CPI for a huge region. Like, for instance, somebody in maybe California who's not part of one of the cities like San Francisco or LA or San Diego that has its own CPI, you know, up to this point they've had to use the CPI for the West region, which would include, you know, the mountains. Now they'll be able to use the CPI for what would be called the Pacific Division, which might be a little more representative of their inflation experience.
Okay. Now let's move to the local indices, and I'm going to go where I fear to tread, because I mean I have to ask you not only what changes you're making, but also to tell us what PSUs and CBSAs are, and how this all factors together, and to do it in the English language. So you're on, Steve.
Okay, well, we do love our acronyms here at BLS. So PSU stands for Population Sampling Unit. It's sort of the building block of the CPI. When we put the CPI together, you know, we sort of have these what we call basic indexes, and a basic index is an index for a particular area, for a particular category. And the area might be a metropolitan area, or it might be a group of areas in the same region or now in the same division. CBSA stands for core-based statistical area, and this is really a Census Bureau term. These are how they define the different areas where people live. And so, for instance, our definition of what is New York City or what is Denver comes from the Census Bureau, comes from how they define those areas.
So putting this all together, what changes are we going to see in the local indices?
Well, and the important thing for people to realize, and this is perhaps not the happiest news for some people, is that there are certain areas, certain local areas that are no longer going to be published. And those specifically are Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Portland, Cleveland, Kansas City, and Milwaukee. So those areas currently have, you know, sort of their own index, and they no longer will. So people who are using those indexes are going to have to do something different. A few other changes, like Baltimore and Washington, are currently combined. Those are now going to be separate, which is actually how they used to be before the mid-90s. And the Los Angeles and Riverside areas, the Riverside formerly has sort of been part of the Los Angeles index. The Riverside area is now going to have its own index. And additionally, as we talked about before, those division indexes are going to be published.
Now, speaking as someone who lives in Portland, which is going away, probably too late for a protest, right?
Probably, yes.
How were these cuts made, these decisions made? What factors were taken into account?
Well, you know, our primary focus is to create the best national index that we can, given the resources that we have. And so in determining what cities would have their own index and be what we call self-representing, we set a population threshold, and that threshold went up from 1.5 million to 2.5 million. And for some technical reasons, it really served us better to have sort of a smaller number of those building blocks, which meant less self-representing cities. This is certainly not without a cost, and as someone who deals directly with the users of CPI data quite a bit, you know, I was a little bit disappointed when I saw that these cities weren't going to have their own index anymore. But, you know, from the Bureau's perspective, it is sort of the best way to do the nationwide index and the best use of resources to have a smaller amount of self-representing cities. So it's unfortunate, and the Bureau is aware that this does, you know, have some cost to users. And we definitely want to help users of those indexes sort of figure out how to best deal with this.
And what is your suggestion, if you have, I mean BLS's suggestion or suggestions, for somebody who's in a Cleveland or a Kansas City or a Portland where the local indices are going away? And let me give you the worst case scenario, where they're in year two of a 4-year collective bargaining agreement, and the year three wage, which will be implemented in January 1, 2018, is tied to the local index that won't be published anymore.
Well, let me issue our standard disclaimer here that the Bureau, isn't authoritative about this. We can't sort of tell people how to do their contracts. We are happy to advise people what we think what would be some reasonable options and sort of understand the data. So the idea is, you know, what index sort of best captures the inflation experience that you're trying to capture. And we'll take Portland as an example. So Portland's currently an index that's no longer going to be published. What do you do? There'd be a few options. One would be to move to the new Pacific Division Index, but that index doesn't really have a history. You know, it's just starting now, so there wouldn't be a 12-month change. So the next step up would be the West Region Index. And that's probably where I would point somebody. I would point them towards the regional index. In many cases, the inflation experience is measured almost as well by a regional index as for the index for a particular city, unless just, you know, rental costs are really sort of particular to that city, like San Francisco, for instance. But in many cases, I think the inflation experience will be measured just as well or almost as well by a regional index as by the index for that particular city. And there's some advantages, too. The regional indexes are monthly rather than coming out every 2 or 6 months and are based on a larger amount of data, so they'll be less volatile. The general advice would be to push somebody towards a broader index, which would most likely be a regional index.
And Steve, just for your general information, that's the advice I've been giving people, but I've been supplementing it with some labor law principles. And mm-hmm. the labor law principles are that most collective bargaining agreements have a provision in them known as a savings clause. And the savings clause says if one section of this labor agreement, for whatever reason, becomes unenforceable, the parties agree to reopen the contract to negotiate a successor, a replacement for that clause that, as nearly as possible, preserves the benefit of the bargain originally.
Right.
And so I'm telling people savings clauses are likely the vehicle. And then once you get through that vehicle, you probably ought to run to the regional index, kind of a combination of all that.
That certainly sounds very reasonable to me.
Let's talk about the four broad regional indices now, the ones that have been published for a while. For those, if I understand it right, the classes of cities that make up those indices will be changing a bit. Is that right?
That's right. We're reducing the number of size classes. Right now we have three size classes, which would be A, which would be self-representing, you know, the big cities, the cities that have their own indexes, B/C, which would essentially be sort of the medium-sized cities, and then the D class, which would be very small cities. We're essentially combining the BC and the D and just cutting everything into two size classes, essentially self-representing and non-self-representing. So S and N will be our new letters. From a user perspective, I don't think this is such a big deal. If you're using a size class D index, which I would hope not too many people are, then you're going to have to adjust. But we're going to the current BC size class is going to be continuous with the new N size class. And I don't know if that makes sense to too many people, but hopefully this is not a big issue for the users. If there are users who have issues with this, they can certainly call us and we can discuss it with them.
Well, while we're on that topic, is there a help number that users can call
Absolutely. It's 202-691-7000. And from 8:30 to 4:30 Eastern, you can call that number, and virtually always you'll get a human being on the end of the line, which surprises many people. I honestly don't take as many calls as I used to just because my reflexes aren't as fast, and then my colleagues get to the phone before me. And we're happy to answer your questions. We're happy to, whatever you need from us, we're going to try to get it for you.
One last question, and this one deals with the local indices. You use the example of Baltimore and Washington, and also the example of Los Angeles and Riverside, where the indices are going to be broken in two. And I'm wondering whether a time-based comparison, where you would compare, for example, 2018 numbers to 2015 numbers, whether or not that's going to be an apples-to-apples comparison, given that you have different geographical makeup of the indices?
Well, it's a question of degrees. Is it exactly apples-to-apples? No, in many cases. And many cities, the exact geographic boundaries as defined by the Census Bureau are changing, like the San Francisco Bay Area is changing quite a bit. However, we are generally running those indexes as continuous and sort of representing them as the same index. So is it strictly apples to apples? No, it's not. But in terms of, there's not really better alternatives. And I think in general, the economy changes in many, many different ways. And the mix of things that people are buying changes, and lots of things are changing. So these particular geographic changes probably aren't all that important in the big scheme of things in terms of the validity of these indexes. That would be my take. If I was going to compare the San Francisco index in a few years, which will be based on a slightly different set of boundaries than the current San Francisco index, that change in boundary isn't a huge deal to me. It just means that a few counties that we were collecting prices in, we aren't collecting prices there anymore. It's probably not having a huge impact on the index relative to other things. But it's a bit of a complexity, and there's no real easy answer to it.
And one other thing, Steve, I'm a longtime user of BLS's webpage on the CPI, which I think has a ton of resources, and I really commend people to go there, particularly that little map in the bottom right of
sure.
the page where that you can click on, and then once you get into the actual numbers, the time-based numbers, you can, if you know where to look, you can click on various options and mm-hmm. see percentages rather than the raw numbers and
right.
all of that sort of stuff. It's really nice.
Yeah, I've guided people through that exact feature many, many times. I guess while we're on that topic, since I'm talking to probably a lot of people who use the CPI, if you use the CPI often, I really recommend getting used to using our database, and the map is sort of one way to get into our database, rather than just sort of PDF version of published tables. Those tables the format can change. They only sort of give you the snapshot of the most recent number. When you use our databases, you can see the whole history of the index. You can, look at the 12-month changes of the index values as you choose. It's just a better way to work with the data, and I encourage your users to learn to do that, and they can call us if they need some guidance.
Steve, I sure appreciate your time. This has been great, and I think mission accomplished here. I think you've explained a very complicated issue in a way that I can understand. It's very much appreciated.
Well, I'm real happy to get the chance to do it. Here at BLS, we want people to use our data, properly and to their own benefit, and to understand it as well as we can explain it. So thanks again for giving me the chance to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
You too.
And folks, that's been Steve Reed, an economist at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, explaining the upcoming changes in the formulation of the CPI. We encourage all of you to listen first Thursday of each month to our regular monthly update of recent developments in law enforcement, fire protection, labor relations. With that, this is Will Aitchison signing off.